listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Actually, it's Andy Pate, party of choice.
Is that you?
Welcome. I did not know that was coming, folks.
We did that for you, Andy.
I am your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, together with Marie Chavez.
How's
Are you
going,
having
Andy?
Fun?
Oh, so much fun.
Well, you're going to have more fun now. You know why?
Why?
We have Richard Battle on the line.
Richard, hi.
Richard Battle, of author of Navigating Life's Journey. Richard, you have two people here who are profoundly lost. So you are ideal to come on the air right now.
Help us find our way.
Maybe you can help her with her drinking problem. What?
I was listening to y'all earlier, and you sounded like you were having so much fun earlier.
Well, John let us sneak in this studio while he was away, so lucky us.
Well, we're glad to be with you today.
It's great having you, Richard. Hey, what would you like to talk about today, the nanny state?
Well, yes, last week, and it's funny because each week we think about what we'd like to talk to everyone about. And last week we had a couple of things happen with a snowstorm in Texas that just kind of tripped my trigger, so to speak. And it was expectations of people for the nanny state. And I think it is so destructive to us individually and to our national security. And the item that just set me off was when our Republican Governor Abbott, who I like, had a press conference and started telling people that he was going to fix everything so that Texans would never, ever have to suffer any inconvenience again.
Oh, good.
He didn't say inconvenience, but that was the message. And so life has risk, but government at all levels are trying to take risk out of life or tell people that they are, and they're setting up false expectations for us that can be deadly.
Richard, I want to ask you a question about Abbott here before we move on, okay? It just seems to me, and you tell me if I'm misreading this, it seems to me that ever since the COVID rates jumped in Texas for a while last year, remember this? It seems like ever since then, he has gone full nanny state and he wants to basically bubble wrap your entire state. Am I right? Because he took it on the chin a little bit from the media and wilted.
Well, it's not exactly that, because the mayor in Austin, for example, wants to lock the city down, and every time he does something, Governor Abbott plays whack-a-mole on him.
Well, that's good.
And puts him back into his place, and the state is pretty open, so I have to give him that. But the interesting thing is, in Texas, based on our Constitution, the governor is a weak position. He or she gets to make a lot of appointments, but there's not a lot of individual power. But yet when governors get in front of the cameras and talk, people believe they have more power than they constitutionally do. And that sets up even more false expectations from people.
So do you think, Richard, is it people who are expecting the government to take care of them? Or is it, I mean, what's your read on the general populace? Do people want to be nannied?
Well, I think this is something that has evolved the last 50 years especially, because years ago, the last thing anyone would ever want would be anyone from the government even talking about helping them. And as Ronald Reagan said, the most terrifying words in the English language, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." But in the last 50 years, politicians at all levels and all parties are trying to make government the rescuer of first resort versus the rescuer of last resort. And family, friends, churches, neighbors, that's where people used to bond together. And we saw some great instances last week of that in Texas, people helping neighbors. The town of Harper was without electricity for 8 days, the whole town. And so people caravaned supplies to them and help them voluntarily that weren't government people. But when we give our freedom up to the government and expect them to take care of us, our freedom muscles atrophy. And I believe freedom is a muscle that we must exercise regularly to keep it in shape.
Well, yeah, I mean, freedom is like choice. If you aren't used to making choices in life, if you're used to having someone else do that for you, you become pretty lousy at making choices. But Richard, I just want to ask this. What is the allure, do you think, of having government take care of, you know, be the first place you run to for help rather than others? Why do you think that's becoming more and more popular, even in a state like Texas?
Well, it's a convenience or a lazy factor from the standpoint. I'll give you examples. Years ago, people would help their neighbors. They'd help their family. They would help more through churches. And as government got more involved, it was easier for people to say, well, I pay taxes. I don't have to do that anymore. The government will do it. And so they delegated that and then took back their private time. And that's dangerous to us, because when the government takes that over and starts dictating, it can have national security implications. And I'd like to share one example that always strikes me of the differences of culture in World War II. When the Normandy invasion happened, the Germans had a large tank force in reserve that they could not bring to bear on the Allies, because no one wanted to wake Hitler up and ask his permission. And no one from Hitler down to the tank level had the courage to make an individual decision based on initiative. And the Allies took control of the invasion because of that lack of initiative of the German soldier. Whereas the Americans were used to improvising. They were used to individual soldiers making decisions at the point of attack that helped. And when they came into that hedgerow country and they could not get through it very easily, an individual army sergeant came up with a plow-type device for the tanks to help them get through that hedgerow country. In the German army, that guy probably would have been shot because he had not waited for orders. And that's the threat to our national security. We need people thinking. We need people taking care of themselves, taking care of their neighbors, and we need less government intervention at all levels at all times.
Richard, that's a wonderful story because it exemplifies what it is to be an American. And to me, that's something uniquely American, a basic respect for the average person and their ability to save themselves and not need to be nannied. It's just amazing to me that you said something about taxes, that we expect the government to take care of us because we're paying taxes. I would be curious, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but if you look back over history, when taxes increased, I wonder if people depended more on the government the more they were paying in taxes.
Well, I don't know if it's paying more as much as the perception when politicians want to create it that their job is to take every phone call and help with every problem. And constituent services is what they call it. And instead of taking care of legislation and doing things of that type nature, they've turned themselves in almost like city council people, taking calls if someone's garbage isn't picked up or the water line's not working, and they've become much more servants to constituent services than taking care of the bigger picture things. And that, to me, is the threat to our independence. I don't look to the government. If my water pipe breaks, I don't necessarily look to the government if the water pipe breaks in my house. I call a plumber, take care of it myself. But yet, some people want the government to be that rescuer of every resort.
Richard, how do we turn back the tide? And what I mean is this. When the government is what you turn to, when people are dependent on government for these things and they're dependent on this nanny state, they become very helpless people. And a nation of helpless people is a helpless nation. Right? This doesn't look good going forward. How do we start turning this around in each of our individual lives?
Well, I think each of us has to exercise our freedom. We have to talk with our children. And I'll give you an example. I have a daughter that's a senior in college, and she was asking about the $1,400 stimulus check. And so I had to educate her about the negative aspects of that even being discussed, and how that $1,400 check may come back in her lifetime and cost her $14,000, for example, in taxes.
Hey, before you go on, Richard, before you go on, do me a favor, okay? I want to hear the rest of this. Can you let her know from me that I want to thank her for paying for that? Because this is going to go right on the national debt. That's all going to be paid for by young people like her. So just tell her thanks. Keep going.
Well, absolutely. And it's going to be paid by her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What we're doing to the future generations of this country is criminal. And it all started when President Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971 and put us on fiat currency. And since then, government spending and government taking control of our lives has grown exponentially. And so I've tried to train and educate her on the freedom and not taking that from the government and not looking for that and the negatives of that versus the positives. And so individually we have to do things, but we have to reclaim the education system as well. We have to educate people on the advantages of freedom. And yes, freedom has risk, but I can tell you that when I've exercised my freedom, even if I've had shortcomings or failures, the lessons I've learned have helped me going forward. The feeling of dignity and self-worth from going through it, critical thinking and decision-making, and the ability to contribute to the health of others versus becoming ever more dependent, as you say, that helps make us a stronger country. And we need to have that strength, and I think that strength was what separated us in World War II, for example.
Awesome. All right. You're listening to Richard Battle, author of Navigating Life's Journey. Richard, how can people reach you and get your book?
Website is richardbattle.com. Any bookstore, but if they go to Amazon and look up Richard B as in Victory Battle, all of my publications are there, and we appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Fantastic. Richard, thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless America.
God bless America.
Amen.
And God bless RoofMax. How's that?
Sure. God bless them too.
Yeah. RoofMax is up next. Folks, have you ever noticed how people in Hollywood all look younger? Have you noticed this?
Yes.
They do. They all look younger.
It's
not fair. It's not fair at all. At RoofMax, Dave Hart treats your roof like a star with treatments adding 5, 10, even 15 years of life. And the best news is you're not paying what some of those stars pay. In fact, you're saving money over roof replacement. That's pretty cool, right?
That sounds like a good deal to me.
It is. Well, to make your roof the star of your home, call Dave at 303-710-6916, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. You know, the last thing you need when talking home loans is a guy who panics. The rates just jumped. The rates just fell. And we've seen people like that. Oh my gosh, you got to jump on this right now. On Monday, Kurt Rogers of Affordable Interest Mortgage looked at the recent jump in rates and calmly predicted they would come back down soon and stay fairly low for months. Now the Fed has come out and basically said the same thing. If you want wisdom, not panic, call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. lower your payment, and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take aim, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Marie Chavez. Marie, let's talk a little bit more about masks. Okay, we got a few minutes here. I want you to listen to a clip. It's 2 minutes long.
Okay.
It's from the Laura Ingraham show last night, and she was talking to Dr. Scott Atlas.
There hasn't been any semblance of accountability for the shifting goalposts and the faulty predictions that have been made one after the other on just things like the super spreader events that we were warned about from everything from Mount Rushmore to Alabama to the Tampa Super Bowl celebrations.
Yeah, hey, Laura. Well, you know, there's not only no accountability, there's a repetition of stuff as if it were never proven wrong. I mean, we're seeing it with the schools. We see it with all these super spreader, you know, things that you just said. We're hearing just waffling on things because I think you're right. People have a lot of pressure, and that's understandable. They don't want to be wrong, except they're instilling fear. When you look at the American media in particular, and part of it is these interviews where people keep stressing what we don't know, what might happen. And we know so much, like you pointed out, about the variants. There's no evidence that there's some kind of massive spike due to these variants. There's no evidence that there's increased lethality. But we have American stories. If you look at the data from the National Bureau of Economic Research, over 90% of American stories were negative and therefore fear-invoking, whereas in Europe, just over 50%. That has an impact, and at this point, when you have people that keep repeating that kind of stuff, misinformation, totally ignoring the science on the masks, actually, completely ignoring, and therefore pushing false information, they're instilling fear, and that's what's worrisome here. Because when you look at the data on the surveys, over 70% of Americans say they will wear a mask after the pandemic is over. That's very frightening. We have a damaged American psyche, and it's due to these public health officials that are just really not saying the real data, probably because they don't want to admit that they were so wrong.
70% of Americans say they're going to wear masks after the pandemic.
Wow, that surprises me.
You know, this is like if I were to go, I'm going to go down to my car, then I'm going to tear out the seat belts and wrap one around myself and wear it everywhere, even when I'm not driving.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, Andy.
You know, just
please
to be sure, just to be safe. You're wearing a mask. Hey, the 70% out there hearing my voice, you're nuts. Okay? I'm not going to couch this. You are going to wear a mask to prevent something that wasn't prevented by a mask. Okay, just a reminder, CDC told us 85 to 92% of those catching COVID are mask wearers around other mask wearers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so first of all, folks, you 70% out there, I want you to find someone in the 30% and listen to them. They're smarter than you, okay? Because you are going to keep wearing a mask to stop something that a mask never stopped when that something is gone.
I got to say, Andy, I'm guessing it's the 30% listening to KLZ, so we're probably preaching to the choir, but it's a point well taken.
Okay, 30%. Go find one of the 70% and talk some sense into them. Are they crazy? Are they crazy? Look, I talked about it earlier. You know, we were talking about what does this do to spending. Two words to keep in mind, Marie. The list. Okay? Here's what I mean. Whenever you go into a store, you often have the list with you. You know, eggs, milk, this, that, whatever. Or you go into, you know, I got to get a sweater. I got to get whatever. Right? You get a list.
Right.
If you don't have a mask on, you're probably, and if you're relaxed before COVID, you browsed. being somebody, I did retail, okay? We made our profits almost entirely on you buying more than you went into the store for.
Oh, yeah. In normal times, nobody just buys the list.
Upselling has been crushed. Number one, because people are less comfortable wearing a mask. If they weren't, they'd wear them all the time for comfort. Okay, so they're obviously less comfortable. Number two, when you can see someone's mouth and they can see yours and you interact in that way, it is more friendly and inviting and their upsell works better.
Well, and think about if you're nervous about the virus, you want to get in and out of the store quickly, right? And
yes.
So you don't want to stand around having the fun experience of shopping.
No, absolutely. You know, it's not fun. Okay, people are spending less. And this is why Victoria's Secret and those places, they collapsed right away. And people were like, but we opened up all, this is well after we opened up the malls. We opened up the malls again. People can go there and, you know, just wear their mask and go shopping because it's no problem. And it's like, I got news for you guys. You know, I come from this planet called Earth. I have no clue what one you're coming from. On Earth, girls don't feel sexy wearing masks. And they don't want to buy pretty little things as much, certainly not beyond their list, when they're wearing a mask.
It is true. I've never had my husband say to me, honey, you look so hot in that mask.
I say it to my wife all the time, but I fear her. So, you know, I do it for different reasons. No, it's crazy, right? You don't feel cool wearing a mask. You don't feel relaxed wearing a mask. You don't feel adventurous wearing a mask. You don't feel anything wearing a mask. And so you're not going to want to buy as much stuff wearing a mask. You go to the supermarket. Now, those places are doing well. Why? Because people aren't going out to eat nearly as much. We're going to talk to a restaurateur in the third hour.
Well, and it's those are the essential expenses.
Yeah.
People aren't doing the fun money stuff as often. And
right.
I'm noticing it too. I'm not a huge spender. I'm not a shopaholic by any means.
Except for craft beer. Go ahead.
Of course. But I do enjoy it. I do like shopping. And I miss it. I miss that feeling of going to the outlet malls in Castle Rock and browsing and having fun.
Yeah. But you know what? Let's think about the outlet malls or these malls for a moment. It's not just that it's not fun to breathe your own exhaust. That's obvious. It's also not fun to be around a lot of people wearing masks, to not see the bottom half of their faces in a crowd walking amongst each other. Is that fun? You tell me.
During COVID, I've been doing a workout class and we all have to wear our masks while we work out. And I've made some friends. It is a very difficult workout when you're wearing a mask. Let me tell you, my lungs get a very good exercise. But I know these people by name and I'm friendly with them. I've never seen their face. I don't even know what they look like.
It's horrible.
It makes me sad. I'm looking forward to the day when I can see their face, but apparently 70% of them I never will. So we're doomed.
Yeah, let's take a break so we can bring in David Williams after the break, and then you and I will pick this up toward the end of the hour, because 70%, let's just leave you with that. 70%, oh my gosh. The world is uptight. You know what? Where else is uptight? Denver is uptight. If you notice this, anywhere you go in Denver, it's no fun.
All you have to do is drive to find that out.
Exactly. There's no way around it. But a place that is not uptight is Purefoy Chevrolet. They're not uptight at all. If you're in the market for a new or used car, then get out of uptight Denver. Go relax at Purefoy Chevrolet in Fort Lupton. They've got a great selection of new and used cars, but better yet, it's like shopping at a friend's house. I loved it there. You will too. So call Purefoy Chevrolet at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience, and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, you know, your job isn't confusing. You've done it for years, but retirement? That's a whole new world. Let L. Smith guide you as you learn how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when best to file for Social Security, or just how to minimize risk. Call L at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern: making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist Al Smith, has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Marie Chavez. And online we have my good friend Hugo Chavez. Ray, Hugo, how are you?
I'm doing good. How's it going, Andy?
I'm doing well. What do you have for us today, sir?
Well, I was just on my way down to Parker, and I heard you talking about that survey they did. 70% said they're going to wear masks after the pandemic is over.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, it's probably the same people they polled for presidential polls.
Are you saying polls aren't always accurate?
You know, it's funny. Yeah, that's good. You know, it's funny you say that, and Charlie mentioned it off air, and I agreed with him. I think that number is quite a bit high. But I'll say this, Hugo. You and I, of course, won't wear a mask, but I do believe that the number, whatever it is much higher than it should be. I mean, aren't you? I don't think it's 70% either. I agree. I don't know where he got the number. But doesn't it shock you, Hugo, to see how many people wear a mask even when they don't have to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm driving down the road and I see people wearing masks driving in the car by themselves.
Yeah, it's nuts. Or when they're out walking their dog.
I went to get a haircut today, and the lady doing my hair was wearing a mask, and she asked me to put one on while I get my haircut, and so I did. And we were sitting there chatting, and I got her to talk about the mask wearing and the virus and all that, and I told her, "So you really think that mask is protecting you?" Huh? She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, next time it gets really cold, walk outside and breathe out. And if you can see your breath, that mask isn't protecting you at all."
That's great.
She looked at me and said, "Really?" I said, "Yep, that's the fact."
All right, Hugo. Well,
anyway,
thank you so much for calling in. And by the way, I totally agree. I think that number's too high, too. I think you're dead on. And call back, okay?
No problem.
Take care, Hugo. Okay, and up next on the line, we have David Williams, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. David, first of all, just the fact that you have that title makes me love you.
Thank you so much. But, you know, I feel like I haven't done my job. Have you seen the deficit? Have you seen the debt? You know, protecting taxpayers is a full-time job, and the past year has been, boy, you know, working overtime for sure.
Well, sometimes it's the little bighorn, and you're just overrun. So
exactly.
We understand. Only unlike that, you aren't dumb going into it. David, what's happening? What's going on with the with Biden's budget and everything else?
Oh my goodness, so much is going on. The House Democrats, and I say House Democrats because they're the ones pushing through a $1.9 trillion spending bill, actually relief bill. And you know, a lot of things. Here's the thing that jumps out at me is we are now starting these bills at $1 trillion. I remember the quote good old days when we started at $1 billion, but now the baseline is $1 trillion. And I'm concerned that people are getting a little numb to the fact that, you know, we're talking about $1 trillion pieces of legislation that the Democrats are going to pass without any Republican input. And they're doing this on purpose because they don't want Republican input. They want to put this through, and they have a whole list of items that are non-COVID related that they want to get funded, and it's really frightening what they're doing.
You know, David, one of the things that terrifies me is every time I hear somebody say, oh, well, you know, we'll never pay back the deficit. We can never pay back the deficit. Now, I understand what they're saying. The numbers are so daunting. But aren't they really saying America's finished?
Well, and they're saying, okay, well, we'll just give up. No,
yeah.
America doesn't give up. I don't give up. And members of Congress shouldn't give up. So, you know, that's, to me, not to be blunt, but that's loser talk. You say that, you know, we should just give up. So that's really disconcerting because, you know, even if we have, you know, $27 trillion debt, we need to make the first steps to reverse that. And listen, it's not going to happen overnight, but we need the mentality in Congress, of members of Congress, that that's unacceptable. But we don't have that mentality in Congress because these numbers now don't mean anything to members of Congress when they pass these bills. And, you know, and let's remember that, you know, we're paying interest on this debt. So interest on the debt is going to be about $400 to $500 billion a year. I mean, this is larger than any other agency except the Pentagon. So we're spending $500 billion just to service the debt. How is that not, you know, unacceptable? I don't understand it, but, you know, a lot of members of Congress just ignore it.
David, it's okay though, because we're doing it for the children.
Oh, we're doing it to the children, actually.
Now, David, let me make sure I understand how this works. The interest that we're paying, who are we paying?
Oh, you're going to love this. It's other countries like China. I mean,
great.
That's where a lot of...
Our
right?
favorite
I mean,
person to give more money to.
Well, yeah, I bet you wish you wouldn't have asked that question.
That's my number one goal right now. How can we give more money to China?
Yeah, so that's what's happening is, you know, because they're buying up all this debt and we have to pay them interest on this every year. And, I mean, boy, talk about, you know, a conflict of interest with our own self-interest. That's, you know, right there paying China hundreds of billions of dollars.
David, can I get X-Files conspiracy theorist for just a moment here?
For sure.
Okay, China owns a number of U.S. politicians, including our president, in my mind. Okay? They own them. All right, or they own family members of them. They have a lot of leverage on them. And these very same members are saying, let's spend as much as we possibly can. And this heavily benefits China. Am I missing something here?
So I don't think members of Congress are that smart.
Oh, okay, good point.
Wow, that's discouraging.
Okay, so as long as they stay stupid, we have some protection.
Yeah,
no,
we do. We have a little bit, but that's the problem is that they don't see the connection, right? And you know they don't understand what's happening to this generation and future generations. You know they're just looking at the moment. And when they pass a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, this is for photo ops. It's for press releases. This is not about helping people because there's already $1 trillion from last year that hasn't been spent, that the government hasn't sent out. And this number is going to blow you away. It blew me away when I heard this, is that Congress appropriated $60 billion for education last year as part of COVID relief. $4 billion has actually been spent. So there's more than $50 billion appropriated that hasn't gone to the states, and they want to spend more.
Where'd it go?
Why not just... It's sitting in the government waiting to be spent.
So they have enough, right? You have enough.
Yes.
So if I get a COVID bill credit card, I can go out and buy some stuff and just enjoy life. Those are hard to come by.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, we don't look at the budget the same way Congress does. I don't know about you, but I look at my income, and then I decide what I can spend money on. You know, Congress does the exact opposite. They go, hey, let's spend a bunch of money. Oh, by the way, what's the revenue? You know, the exact opposite of every household in this country is how government does budgeting. And that's why we're so far in debt.
David, I want to ask you how this is going to impact us down the road. But I'm also curious, first of all, how is our large debt affecting us today?
So, you know, today I mentioned the interest on the debt. But down the road, you know, I think the biggest problem is going to be that there might be tax increases to pay for this, is that, you know, we have the Democrats controlling the White House, the House, and for the most part the Senate. There's a tie, but, you know, VP Harris is the deciding vote. But this could mean tax increases, because normally you can grow your way out of this. But I don't think we can grow our way out of this amount of this debt. And, you know, something's going to happen, and it's not going to be good.
Hey, David, can you give us a few examples in this 1.9 of really spending that has nothing to do with COVID?
Oh, for sure. So you have $86 billion that's going to bail out pension funds across the country. And these are union pensions that were mismanaged, and now we're bailing them out. And guess what? They're not saying that you have to fix these pensions. It's, no, here's $86 billion, and you don't have to fix the problems inside the pension. So a few years, we could be doing this again for the for the union. You have the National Endowment of the Arts. $270 million for the National Endowment of the Arts.
Oh, my.
Now, get this. Their normal budget is $253 million. So they just are getting their budget doubled in the blink of an eye.
What is that? What's the Endowment of the Arts?
It's the National Endowment of the Democrat Activists.
Exactly. And, yeah, these are going for people to, you know, some people use the money to do actually disgusting art. And, you know, obviously all of this is taxpayer funded, but this is what they're talking about. And you know, we're talking about 20% of this COVID relief bill that has nothing to do with COVID. We have increasing the subsidies for Obamacare. You know, that's going to be billions of dollars. And, you know, and a really weird one that I found was $1.5 million for a bridge that connects New York to Canada. Now, let's see, who in New York do you think was able to get that little goodie? It's obviously Chuck Schumer, right? I mean,
right.
This is the guy. But, you know, it's $1.5 million in a, you know, $1.9 trillion bill. But I'm concerned that as this moves to the Senate, you know, more goodies may hang from this Christmas tree.
Yeah, but, you know, that actually provides something good, because Governor Cuomo is coming under a lot of heat. He needs an escape route. So now he can flee to Canada over this bridge.
Can we just make sure it's one way?
Yes.
And that he doesn't come back?
Yeah, we can have the entire thing has a huge turnstile on it. You can go one way through. You do not come back.
No return.
Oh, my gosh.
Poor Canada.
Well, I tell you what, thank you so much for enlightening us, David, because this bill, the second I saw the amount, I knew tons of it is not going to go to COVID. Hey, can you just give us, before we let you go here, just a guesstimate of what percentage of the COVID bill, the $1.9 trillion, is going to go to fighting COVID? And I know even the stuff that goes to fighting COVID won't fight COVID. It'll be payoffs to buddies. But what percent is ostensibly just for fighting COVID?
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be just around 60% of this bill to actually go to fight COVID, you know, to get vaccines, to, you know, really. So I think we're talking about 60%, which, and at this point, again, we have $1 trillion that's sitting there. Let's spend that before we spend any more money. I mean, just pump the brakes, Congress. Let's pump the brakes a second here.
Congress, pump brakes? Now, you don't understand, David. Sorry. We have single-party rule here. This is California now, nationwide. We don't pump the brakes. We slam on the gas and keep spending. Okay, David Williams, thank you so much for telling us all about what's about to happen to us. You've depressed us all. Not really. You're a lot of fun to listen to. Hey, David, how do people reach you?
We're at protectingtaxpayers.org. Call your member of Congress. Call your senator. If you don't like something, please call your member of Congress and voice your displeasure with what's happening, because that's the only way this is going to stop.
And David, one last thing, protectingtaxpayers.org, how are you guys funded?
People like you. We have thousands of people across the country that send us checks for $20, $25, and you know, we try to represent everyone, every taxpayer, and you know, call for more transparency and just smarter government.
Fantastic. Thank you, David. That's David Williams, and you're welcome back anytime, sir.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care. Okay, up next is Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. Folks, you've worked hard for your house. So if you're 62 or older, maybe you should make that house work for you.
Start enjoying it, right?
Yes, with a reverse mortgage. Call Bruce Simmons. Get your questions answered. And at 303-467, I'm saying it slow. I want you to write this down. 303-467-7821. Or you can find Bruce at klzradio.com.
Bruce Simmons makes a potentially complicated loan program easy to understand. Reverse mortgages make a lot more sense when you see how the numbers apply to you. KLZ's Bruce Simmons explains the most confusing aspects of a reverse mortgage in simple language so that you not only understand the loan yourself, but you can also explain the basics to other interested parties. Most likely, you want to involve your financial planner and maybe some of your family members in the decision-making process. For every client, Bruce Simmons creates a personalized video that you can share with your kids, parents, financial advisor, or the skeptical neighbor who still thinks the bank will take your house. He'll show you how a reverse mortgage could enable you to tap into a portion of the value of your home, providing a source of guaranteed tax-free income for as long as you live in the house. Find Bruce Simmons of American Liberty Mortgage now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Al and his team at A Good Shop continue to improve because they want to help more people. Al Sturm started A Good Shop because he saw a need. Back when he worked as an insurance adjuster, Al got a call from a confused customer looking for some help after a collision. Once Al had walked him through his insurance claim, this customer wanted to know what he should do next. Al told him, "The first thing you do is find a good shop." Even back then, Al saw the way the corporate conglomerates ran the auto body industry. They dictated the process so their customers didn't have much of a choice. Al wanted to give his customers options. Today, Al and his team at A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City keep on finding new ways to control the quality of their work so they can provide an alternative to the big guys. After a collision, the first thing you do is find a good shop. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of safety. Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/Franktown. Confidence through practice.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, together with Marie Chavez. How are you getting through this? You doing okay?
Having a lot of fun, Andy.
You hanging in there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you brave?
Depends.
Are you brave enough to talk to Bill from Boulder?
Maybe the last conservative left?
I think he is. Bill, how are you doing today?
Andy, I'm continuing to subvert the dominant paradigm up here in La La Land. But can you guys play some more of the Judas Priest? I was actually just getting into that.
Charlie, you should have kept it going. Bill was enjoying it.
You should Charlie. See us. We do kind of boogie a little bit.
We do the chair dance.
Yeah, we're swiveling our swivel chairs.
Actually, she is. I don't swivel. Just so you know. It's not dignified.
Some of us up here still have a sense of humor. but I'm not from here, so maybe that's why. Anyhow, hey, I wanted to chime in on the clip from Scott Atlas that you played. I mean, that guy was brilliant. I was really stoked when Trump added him to the coronavirus task force. And, you know, I can't remember if it was on Rush Reason or something else I was watching the other day, but somebody said, you know, one of the things that Trump didn't do and they were not happy about was he should have fired Fauci, and I agree with him. I mean, he was trying to drain the swamp, and Fauci is one of the biggest swamp creatures there is. But, you know, this 70% survey, to me, what it does, I mean, actually, as you guys were discussing that, I was looking out my bedroom window watching a neighbor of mine throw some trash away, and they were out there by themselves, and, of course, they're wearing a mask. And, you know, they headed out, and they were walking down the sidewalk wearing a mask without it on the sole around. But,
yeah, Bill, let me ask you something really quick, Bill. 70% sounds high, but when you look out your window at Boulder, would you at least be pretty confident that it's at least 70% of people in Boulder who intend to go on wearing masks?
I would. Andy, people are just, fill in the blank, whoever you want to say they are, they've really done a good job of making people really afraid of this thing. People just freak out. I mean, I don't wear a mask when I walk down the sidewalk because there's no reason to. I mean, I've already had the virus for one thing, so the chances of me, you know, getting it again are very, very slim. And quick aside to that, too, there was a study that they did. There was a surviving, there was a somebody that had survived the 1918 Spanish flu, was still alive several years ago, and they actually tested them to see if they had presence of T cells from the Spanish flu in their body. And they did. This is this study was mentioned by, I forget his name now. Anyhow, it was in the Wall Street Journal last week as an opinion piece. And the fellow is a researcher, John Hopkins, and he was just talking about how we've actually achieved herd immunity. So, you know, you've got
We've
got
to be getting close.
Oh, I'm sure we're there already.
Yeah.
But, I keep kind of avoiding my point I'm trying to make here is that I think that just that they've convinced people that, you know, this is the proper course of action, but it just sets us up to also just be willing to accept without any critical thought reparations for slavery, gender studies and the gender initiatives that are run amok, you know, men playing on women's basketball teams, and, you know, not questioning, you know, starting a new budget request off at a trillion, like your last guest was just talking about. So it really is just our critical reasoning skills are just continuing to be eroded, and I think people are succumbing to that. It's really spooky. I mean, that's what that 70% tells me. It's like, why would you continue to wear the mask after the pandemic is gone and the virus is gone? I mean, if you're sick and you have to get on a bus or something, yeah, wear a mask as a courtesy to the other people around you. But, you know, it's not going to keep you from getting sick. I mean, there's been studies ad nauseum that, you know, these types of masks don't prevent you from, don't prevent you from getting the flu.
Well, besides all the studies, and really quick here, Marie has a question, but let me jump in for a second.
Yeah.
Bill, what they're basically saying is there was no time before COVID when we were safe enough to not wear masks.
Precisely.
So all of that time before COVID, all the hundreds of years of American history didn't happen. Okay.
Correct.
And we didn't have any time when we could not wear masks and live fairly safely. That's what they're basically saying. Go ahead, Marie.
Well, here's the thing that surprises me, Bill, because I'm not quite as anti-mask as Andy and John are. I'll admit I can see some reasons to wear them, but for these 70% of people who are trusting in the authorities who've been, you know, they're believing what Fauci said, right? These 70%. But then to say, once the authorities give us the green light, I don't understand. Like, you'd think if you trust the authorities and they say the pandemic's over, then you'd be like, oh, great, I believe them. But they're saying
right,
no.
That's a great point.
Because they're what? Well, why? I don't get it.
Well, to quote one John Rush, we've lost our ever-loving minds.
So it's it goes beyond just having faith in authority, I guess?
Well, and if I may jump in here, Bill, let's keep in mind, for both of you, that Scott Atlas pointed out the media and the information and how it's been disseminated, and that here in America, the media is 90% pro-mask, 90% paranoid. Okay,
right.
90%. we have to make sure that this is absolutely gone, or we're never going to be safe again. Whereas overseas, it isn't like that. So I believe that people have just flat out been conned by hearing it too many ways from too many sources that this mask is actually making that big of a difference. Even though, by the way, I'm going to mention again, the CDC admitted 85 to 92% of those who get COVID have a mask and are around others who do. Go ahead, Bill.
Yep. And the WHO has also said, you know, time and time again that the masks don't work. And the funny thing, you guys, that I like to bring up is that a lot of these people who are adhering to quote-unquote common sense of, you know, as Fauci puts it, you know, wearing one mask is good, then two is just common sense.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not scientifically credible, or you can't validate that. But everybody who stands by these proclamations are the people typically from the left who railed against Trump, saying that he was a denier of science, you know, when it came to climate change and all of these issues. And yet they are so quick to jump on the just do it bandwagon, and there's no science to back this up. And yet they completely accept that. I just don't understand that dichotomy in thought that is represented by that side of the aisle. And I hate to even use that word. You know, I wish there wasn't an aisle, and I wish there weren't sides. There should be. That's just the world we live in right now.
Hey, what's it like, really quick, what's it like being in Boulder where there's only one person on one side of the aisle? I mean, I'm envisioning a church with, you know, that you look down the middle and one side is totally packed and in the other side, dead center, is Bill.
Do you get lonely in there, Bill?
You know, yeah, it is. It's kind of tough, but there are more of us up here than you would be led to believe. But it is really difficult. And I used to be polite, and I used to just like not, you know, stir the pot. But I speak my mind now because I know that I'm right, and I think people need to be encouraged to think of themselves as well. There's the bumper music. So pleasure, guys, as always.
Bill, I believe this music should play behind you everywhere you go. Thank you for speaking your mind today. We'll hear from you again, okay?
All right, take care, guys.
Take care.
Drive safe tonight.
Thank you. You too. Okay, that's it for hour number two. Hour number three is coming up. We're going to speak to Sandra Liberati of the Artisan Pizza Company when we come back. I can't wait. Until then, drive safe out there, folks, and keep listening to Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.